Hey, I'm Tony Perkins. If you're a small business owner, your life is busy. You can't be figuring out every little thing, how to bring in the next client, how to figure out payroll. You don't have the time or the money to have your own secretary to take the calls, but answering all of the calls yourself makes it hard to look professional. Here's something that's going to help you. It's called eVoice. Whether you're a business of one or 100, eVoice will help you manage all of your incoming calls. With a toll-free number, dial-by-name directory, and call routing tools, your business is going to sound like a bustling Fortune 500 company. Even if you can't take a call, eVoice will transcribe the voicemail and email it to you. And with eVoice, you can even try it before you buy it. Right now, just for our listeners, you can get a 60-day trial of eVoice absolutely free. Go to our website, click on the eVoice banner on the top of the page, and insert the code TPGS. Take charge of your business. Go to our website and click on the banner. Insert the code TPGS at checkout for your 60-day free trial. eVoice, a better way to connect.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein. No, they're not related. They're just good friends. It's Tony and Gary.
You go. You solo. I'm going to resist the urge.
What urge?
I'm going to resist the urge to join in on this. You go, man. Blow, Gary, blow.
We're going to talk about that later in the show. That's part of another segment.
How are you, sir?
You know what? I am better than anyone has a right to feel.
Oh, well, that's nice. Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, we'll see as the show goes on.
Yeah, how do you feel?
I feel great. I feel very good.
So you think you feel as good as I do today? Not that it's a competition.
No, it's not a competition.
I feel better than you.
I think I feel okay.
Rob, how do you feel?
I feel terrible. I just ate a green banana.
Oh, your stomach is going to hurt. Your stomach's going to hurt.
You can't peel them. They don't peel well.
Bananas are so weird to me because they go through so many stages relatively quickly, from the you can't even peel it stage to the then when it's starting to soften and you peel it and it's leaving some of the peel on the banana. No. Bananas to me become disgusting very quickly.
They do. But knowing you, this is something you've given a lot of thought to.
Here's the thing. Yes. I enjoy a banana, a sliced banana.
You enjoy a nice banana?
I enjoy a nice sliced banana on my cereal.
Why does it have to be sliced?
Well, how else are you going to do it?
Well, you can eat a banana whole, but I think, maybe
what,
that's just...
What, have a bowl of cereal and just bite a banana while you're doing that?
You could.
That's ridiculous. but it has to be perfect. It can't be like the where the skin has been too green.
Tony, it doesn't have to be perfect to be okay.
Yeah, no, listen. I'm serious about this.
Yeah, I am trying to listen.
I'm serious. Because when you get the banana too early, it has no flavor, pretty much.
It does, and it has that weird hard texture to it.
I don't like that.
I don't know. I don't like that either.
Yes, but then when it's perfect, it has that good banana taste. Doesn't leave a bad aftertaste. The texture is good. The firmness is good. It's not rock hard, but it's not too soft.
Do we have time for anything else? Listen, you know what I know about you.
Oh, I'm very serious.
If you were eating cereal,
yes,
and you had what you've just decided is a bad banana,
yes,
I don't think you'd get over it until the next day.
You might be right.
It's one of those things.
I might not finish the bowl of cereal.
You might not. And in the old days when you and I were on GMA,
yes,
it might have been really rough to work the morning if you had a bad banana with your cereal.
That is
I've been
too
through
bad.
That with you,
you
I
might
think.
Be, you're, there's some truth to that.
I'm sorry.
Not to the extent that you're saying.
No, but it's always good to exaggerate.
I don't like having to peel the strings off the banana.
Do you want somebody to do it for you?
No. That's not what I'm saying. I don't like there being strings.
No, you don't. How many
James, could you please peel these strings off the banana?
I guess I can't say Beulah, peel me a grape, can I?
No.
That's an old movie reference. But,
anyway. Welcome to the show, boys and girls.
This is the banana show.
It's the banana episode. Yeah, we'll write that down. I'm Tony.
I'm Gary, I think.
We are joined by our youthful ward, Rob Ford. Hello, Rob. How are you today? Well, we know
we
how you
don't,
are.
Yeah, we already went there. I don't want to do it again.
Second introduction.
You're right.
I had a green banana today. Yeah.
You know what? We introduce you twice today. Next show, we don't introduce you.
No introduction for you on the next show.
No. not at all.
We're happy to be here. Happy you're with us. We've got a jam-packed show.
Chock
for
full.
You. Chock full of energy and fun. We want to thank, as always, our lovely friends at eVoice. And we hope that you... Listen, here's what I want you to do.
Don't you point that finger at me.
Well, no, not you. It's just a general point.
Oh, this is to the listeners?
To the
okay.
listeners, yeah. When you click on TonyPerkinsShow.com and our picture comes up, mm-hmm. and then it says, check out our sponsor, eVoice, or you can just go to right to the show.
Yes.
Click on eVoice. Read about it. It's a great service.
Check it out.
My wife and I are actually talking about doing this in our house. We have a second line, mm-hmm. and we're thinking about setting up the second line. I won't reveal what for, because it will involve this show, but we're thinking about setting up that second line and having eVoice handle that.
Well, you said that you weren't really sure which of the four houses you were going to put it in.
That's right. It's going to be the Bermuda home.
Oh, not the beach house here in the area.
Not the state's.
No. What about the ski lodge?
We're going to sell that.
Really? And see, Rob, he's not a billionaire.
I'm kidding. I have one home.
That business acumen, Tony Perkins.
One home.
What a guy.
You know what used to drive Sarah crazy when we were still doing Good Morning America?
What?
Charlie would often say, "Yeah, I'm going to go away for the weekend, and we're going to be at our Deer Valley house on the mountain."
Mm.
He had a house right on the mountain, and that's Sarah's dream, which will always be a dream because we'll never have one.
Yeah, well, you never know. You never know.
Well, you know why I know?
Why?
I don't ski.
so why be there?
Why should she have that?
Right. Well, she skis.
Yeah, exactly.
She could go ski. You could sit on the deck and watch what's going on out there.
Yeah, so that's good for 5 minutes. Then what? Well, she actually goes out there every year and skis with a friend and spends a week out in Deer Valley. And, you know,
she does do that, yes.
Yeah.
If you could afford a second home, mm-hmm. and it could be a mountain home like that or something, would you do it? Not a mountain home, whatever, a second home.
Oh, no. We absolutely know that we would have a second home.
Yeah.
But we would probably need several because I would love a beach house.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah would too.
Mm-hmm.
But she would love to have. If we had money to burn like you do, we would
have one house.
We would definitely have a ski lodge house because she would love it.
Wow.
And since I love photography, summer or winter, that's mm-hmm. a gorgeous environment.
Yeah.
But I would have skied. I've never skied in my life. And that's a weird thing. I have never been on the slopes. And now that I really only have one knee, mm-hmm. I'm not about to start skiing.
I have skied, believe it or not.
Really? On your rear end?
Pretty much, yeah. I've done it twice, I think.
I can't picture you skiing.
Oh, I'm terrible. And I'm. It's too, you know, it's one of those sports that to me, well, you make a little wrong move and you've broken your ankle. It's terrible.
I've seen people where their skis cross,
mm-hmm.
and as soon as they cross, you're down.
Yeah.
You are down. And people always say that either they or somebody they know really well broke something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to break anything.
One of my favorite memories of my wife, Rhonda,
is she gone?
No.
That does not sound good.
No.
And he's handling it so well.
No, she's not gone.
One of my favorite memories of Rhonda.
We tried to go skiing once, and we were at whatever the lodge was, and it was the beginner slope where they're teaching you. Now, first of all, we hadn't prepared for it the right way.
I can't picture either one of you.
We didn't even have ski suits.
Oh.
Rhonda was just wearing her winter coat, her regular gloves, not ski gloves. Right? So she was, and Rhonda doesn't like the cold. She was freezing. So we're both on skis and we got the poles and one person's trying to show me, another person's trying to show her. I actually managed to get down the hill. It's not a mountain or anything. It is the beginner slope.
Yeah, I'm picturing it.
I get down. It's not even a long way down, but I get down and Rhonda's not next to me. I turn around. She's still at the top taking these like little steps. You know, and she's smaller than me and she's wearing her big coat and she looks so cute. And she, you know, it's going to take her 20 minutes to get down the hill at the rate she's going. Just these little tiny baby steps to get down the hill. Very, very funny.
And nobody told her that wearing the fur coat wasn't a good idea.
Well,
she should have worn a ski jacket.
I don't know what we were thinking. We weren't prepared at all. Her hands were frozen. It was. And you're laughing at this.
Well, because I know that these things are difficult for you. And I would imagine that they're difficult for Rhonda.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I can't picture either one of you water skiing.
I know. No.
And you've gone to the islands a lot, so have you water skied?
I've not water skied. I've jet skied.
Have you ever made Rhonda water ski?
No. Well, neither of us has water skied.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she has jet skied. I don't think she has. And the last time I did it, I liked it, but... You know how you just go out and like, oh, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And the first time or two, it was great. And then I kind of realized this is really dangerous. I mean, if you don't do it right. So the last time I did it, I wouldn't go fast enough. And when you don't go fast enough,
you fall.
It's horrible. Donnie Simpson, who was on the show a month ago, whenever it was.
Yes.
The last time I was on a jet ski, we had vacationed together. Our families had vacationed together. And I'm on a ski. Boy, this isn't going to sound good.
Oh, good. Tell it.
I think I was on a jet ski with Donnie.
Wait a minute. I'm picturing beach blanket bingo.
Maybe.
And were you on his shoulders?
Maybe.
Who was in the front and who was in the back?
I was on the back, definitely.
Oh, who was the top and who was the bottom?
Here's I may be misremembering this.
Yeah, you hope so.
I don't think it was Donnie. I think it was an instructor.
It was someone who looked like Donnie.
It was an instructor. And I think Donnie had instructed this guy to flip the jet ski. So he did flip it, and we went underwater.
Why did he? Why would he want that?
He thought it would be funny. You know, we're gonna have to call Donnie or something.
Call him now and find out.
I will call him at some point, and because I'm not sure about my memory.
You gotta straighten this out.
I do know that Donnie was involved, and I wound up underwater. I know that.
But I'm fairly sure that you were on his shoulders. I am.
All right. Let's, as if that were not enough. There's something else I want to talk about today.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. And this is.
You have a look on your face.
Well, because this is tough. I've never talked about this publicly.
Is this something I know?
It is something you know. It is something revealing about me. The reason I want to talk about it is because it has been on my mind, number one, and something happened the other day that made me feel like, okay, I need to figure out what I'm going to do about this. And I'll start this by telling you what happened the other day. I'm in a shopping mall with Rhonda and Connor, and we had lunch at the food court. And as we're done, we're leaving the food court. And as often happens, people are like, hey, aren't you a Channel 5 man? Aren't you the news guy? Whatever it is.
Right.
You know, people recognize me. Now, sometimes people say something to me. Sometimes they don't. I kind of see them recognize me and I'll give a nod or a wave or I'll just keep going. It just depends on the circumstances.
Right.
So we're walking. Rhonda's in front. Then it's me and Connor's behind me. We walk past a table. I see a woman. She's sitting with her daughter. The woman looks up at me. I see
some recognition.
Mm-hmm. Right. She doesn't really say anything to me, but as I go by, I hear her say, after I've passed, so I don't really have to respond, I hear her say, that's the guy from Channel 5.
Right.
I walk past. She clearly has turned around and looked at me as I've walked past. And now Connor is walking past and hears her say, wow, I didn't know he had a bald spot.
Oh.
Which Connor finds funny and runs up to me and says, Dad, she commented on your bald spot. I'm like, what? he's laughing. He said, yeah, she said, oh, I didn't know he had a bald spot. And I said, that's really what she said. And then Rhonda comes back. So what's going on? I said, oh, you know, here, I have a bald spot. Now, you guys know it because you see me here every week. A lot of people don't know it because, as you know, Gary, from all those years at Good Morning America,
wow,
for TV purposes, I cover it up.
Yes.
I cover it up.
Not only do you cover it up, but for TV purposes, I have covered it up for you.
That is very true. Yes.
Because often the makeup hair people at GMA,
they would cover
it up. Can I mention the product?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, it's a Sharpie, isn't it?
yes, but it would just say like Gary was here. There's a product called Super Million,
and
it's a powder, and then they would cover it, and they would do an amazing job.
Yeah.
And
it's from Japan. Yeah, it's a very.
You were born and raised in Japan.
This is what that company does. I don't know why it's called that, because it costs close to that much.
It is a lot of money.
It's expensive, but it's actually hair particles. I think it's actual hair.
I didn't know that.
I believe it is, and you sprinkle it on your head, and it you have to have some hair for it to cling to. My hair is very thin on the crown of my head.
And then you have to spray it down so it stays.
You sprinkle it on, right, and then you put some hairspray and it stays there.
Right.
Now, I've never talked about this publicly. I'm not embarrassed by my bald spot. I don't like my bald spot. And on television, it's very ugly. It looks, now you don't usually see it because I don't turn around much. But if when I was at Good Morning America, you know, I would turn around, talk to the crowd, and you know, we're out doing things and everything. So they suggested, you know, when I went to Good Morning America, my hair was thinning. I had never used anything before when I worked here at Channel 5.
Right.
They said, "Hey, we've got this stuff. You should use it." I said, "I don't know." I went on a couple of times without it. I remember a friend of mine said, "I saw you on Good Morning America this morning. It looked like you'd had some brain surgery."
Because, oh, well, that would make you feel bad.
This did make me feel bad. Yeah, this is yeah, what yeah. this is. I remember this. That was back in like 2000.
Well, that's a comment I wouldn't forget.
Yeah. I was like, "Wow, okay." And because my hair is pretty thick on the rest of my head, but on my bald spot, it's not. And under the TV lights,
I was just going to say that's
like,
why.
Yeah, it looks like there's no hair there.
Right.
So,
right.
It
shines from the lights.
Yeah.
You know, it's done for practical reasons.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, it is. It looks better on TV. So, for TV purposes, and I've never addressed this on TV, there are coworkers who don't know that I, you know, because I put it on before I get to work.
Yeah.
Oh, so you do it yourself?
No. He can.
Yeah.
But he goes somewhere.
I stopped someplace. There's a hair salon where I went there.
Oh, so it's not the Fox 5 hair and makeup.
We don't have hair and makeup. You know, when you work in the big leagues, Good Morning America, hair and makeup. Local TV, no, you do it yourself.
And on GMA, if Tony and I were on the road covering a hurricane or whatever, I'm the only person who was with him to be able to do it. So he would say, you know, he looked through his notes. He did all the weather research. And then he didn't even have to say anything. At a certain point, I just knew it was Super Million time, and I would pour it on, and I'd pour it out of the bottle, you know, like I was salt and peppering Tony, getting him ready for the spit for the barbecue, and then I'd use the hairspray, and he would say, "Make sure you get the sides," and I got good at it.
You
actually.
did get good at it. You got very good at it. And you know, when I first asked you to do it, I remember because it's hard to do yourself.
Yeah,
you have to be looking. You have to have a hand mirror in your hand and have another mirror behind you so you can see what's going on.
And you have to have a towel on your shoulders because it's going to get on your clothes.
It's going to get in your clothes, And so, you know, I would put a towel around and Gary, you know, I was probably embarrassed the first time I said, "Do you mind putting my hair on?"
I felt bad for you because you were embarrassed by it. I remember. But, you know, this is not a terrible thing.
It's not a terrible thing, but it's something I've never really revealed. However, you know, the whole process now of putting it on, because I go to a hair salon now every day before I go to work, and I have them do it because it's easier than me standing in a mirror. And, you know, if you miss, it makes a little bit of a mess. So I'd rather, you know, it happen there than at my house. It takes a little bit of time. But I always think to myself, man, I do this every day. Then I got to shampoo it out every night when I get home. It's kind of a hassle.
Yeah.
And so I've been thinking about maybe I'm going to stop doing it and just I'm going to have a bald spot. Now, here's the weird thing.
Well, you actually have one.
Well, yes, I do. But so here's the weird thing that happened at the shopping mall.
Yeah.
Because I don't cover it up in my everyday life, but I've often thought to myself, when I walk by, I'm sure some people look and go, "Yeah, that was it. Oh, bald spot. I didn't know that."
Right.
Not that they think it's bad necessarily.
No, but they didn't see it because, you know, you don't show it on television.
Yeah.
But you're right. If you do give it up, those comments will stop because people will no longer be surprised because you look the way you look.
I know, but I look better with the fake hair. And it creates an issue. For example, if I'm going out to a public event and I'm not going to be on TV, I have to make a decision. Do I want to put the hair on or do I not? Sometimes I'll go like to a Redskins game or a Wizards game. I'll put a hat on.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, all right, I don't have to bother with the stuff. No one's going to see my head.
Here's the thing that it's forcing you to do, which is really not the greatest thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's forcing you to think about it way too much.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it a lot.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so you think about it socially. You think about it before, you know, you're going a certain place or if you're going to a place for business. You probably have to put it on because it's a TV-related event.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And I just think it's forcing you to give it too much. You know what you could do to solve the problem of the lights? All you need to do is possibly use a little bit of powder. You know,
on my head?
Well, yes, because it would just get rid of the potential for shine. And and you might, you know, the same powder you use on your face, you would just use on the top of your head. And and it would come off easier. It wouldn't leave black stuff on your clothes.
Now, what Rob mentioned about the Sharpie, I actually, when I was living in New York, I once saw a guy who, he had a pretty big bald spot, and it appeared to be he applied shoe polish to the top
of
his head.
Yes, but he was insane.
Well, he was insane. It looked crazy.
There was a guy in New York who used to play drumsticks on the curb. Everybody knew him. Mm-hmm. And apparently, he had really been a drummer, and somebody said he played for Sinatra. The guy had shoe polish on his head. It was jet black and shiny, and he had shoe polish sideburns. You could do that if you want. You know, I mean, we could go that route. But listen, I'm a guy, and I get it. And in the last couple of years, my hair is thinning. Have you noticed that my hair
is thinning? It's a little thinner than it used to be, yes.
Yeah, and so I don't really have a bald spot, but it's possible. I never thought it was possible that it could happen.
It's happened late for you. That's what's strange.
Very late. Yeah. Very late. And people in my family, the men in my family, the hair thins. Mm-hmm. Nobody really winds up necessarily with a bald spot. But I've been concerned about it. Mm-hmm. I've been concerned about it.
You're a perfect candidate for Super Million because it would fill that right in. Hey, write this down. Another potential sponsor.
Absolutely.
For the show.
By the way, it is available on Amazon.com through the Mike O'Mara Show.
Is it really?
Super Million hair.
Oh, and
thank you for going there.
They have a variety of colors. Here's the other thing. Because my hair looks black. It's actually dark brown. Mm-hmm. So I get dark brown Super Million.
Yeah.
My hair is getting more and more gray. So now I'm like, well, now what? I'm going to have a patch of dark brown hair on the crown of my head. It's going to look like I'm wearing a yarmulke or something.
Wait, do they have a gray color option?
I think they do. Well, can you look since you're right there?
Yeah.
But what I would need is a salt and pepper option, and then I could never put it on the exact same way every day.
No, you couldn't. But if you leave it the way it is right now, which is just with what you have in the back, a lot of people will think that you're a monk.
It does look
If anybody comes up to you and says, Father, listen, can I just ask you? Then you might want to go back to Super Million. But you know, the way you started this, though,
I thought I had some disease or something.
You know, you are revealing, but I think you're certainly more private than I am.
Yes, I think so. And you're much more revealing, I think.
Yeah, but maybe to a fault. Like, maybe I reveal too much.
I don't know if it's a fault.
Yeah, I don't know either. You know, maybe there's no right or wrong. I've always known that with you, I won't say something about you that I might suspect people won't know, because I would be more careful to see whether or not you ever said it first.
Right.
I mean, I've been aware of doing that, you know.
Yeah.
And the Super Million thing, I've actually lived through that with you and with the concern about it for a long time.
Well, it's funny because you've never, like on this show, what is this, episode 45 or something like that? You've never made maybe you've made a couple of jokes. I have referenced, every now and then I'll reference my thinning hair. But what's funny about that is early, you know, years ago before GMA, yes, I had thinning hair. Well, I still do, obviously. Mm-hmm. But now I joke about it. But if I joke about it on TV, people must think, what a jerk. His hair's not thinning.
Right.
Because it doesn't look like it's thinning.
Right.
So here, this is what I've done.
What you have in the back is actually not thinning.
What are you saying? It's gone?
No, what you have in the back is a bald spot.
Yeah, it is a bald spot.
You know.
It's maximum thinning.
Mine started when I was 20 years old. So
yeah, take
I
your hat off. Now, is this...
Oh, wow. Put it back on, please.
Well, but yeah, you have a ball.
No,
you're 24.
You are thin. Are you stressed?
No, not really. It's just the Ford jeans. My college degree was in music.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom noticed it first. Because we went up, we did a big percussion ensemble number.
Mm-hmm.
We went up, we all took the front of the stage, and we all bowed together after the performance.
Mm-hmm.
And she snapped a picture of us bowing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the perfect angle to the top of my head.
Yeah.
And she said, well, those Ford jeans have started.
Oh,
yeah. You're starting to ball. And I said, oh, well, what are you going to do?
So, how do you feel about it? Does it bother you?
No, not at all. Because, I mean, I see my dad. I see my grandpa. I'm like, that's my future.
Yeah.
That's the way it's going to be. They're cool guys. What are you going
to
do?
You look good bald. I don't think, because, hey, the solution to this
would
be.
I'm not bald yet. I mean, so.
He didn't mean it that way, Lex Luthor. Not exactly like that.
Lex Luthor. Now, it is very common now. A lot of guys, especially black guys, but a lot of white guys now, too, shave their heads.
Yes.
I don't think I would look good. I've got a peanut-shaped head.
And I got a lot of crap about the fact that, you know, my loose stomach bothers me. And you think that you have a peanut-shaped head. Like, what, Arthur, the cartoon character?
Yeah, pretty much.
A peanut-shaped head.
Pretty much. I wouldn't look good bald.
Well, you know what? I tend to agree with you. And also, you have enough hair. I don't think that I would consider shaving it off. And I also, you know what? They say that as you get older, and who could be older than you?
You.
I'm not just, you know what? I'm only older than you by a hair. There, you see what I did?
I see what you did there.
I think that everybody says as you get older, you get more comfortable with yourself.
Yes.
And you don't explain as much anymore or feel the need to.
Yeah.
I think that if you let it go now, I think that would be the best choice.
Okay. Well, what I might do is I might go to my bosses and say, this is what I really look like. What do you think? And we'll see.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see.
So they have not seen you without?
No. No.
But have you ever run into anybody from the studio at a restaurant or at the mall or at a strip
once,
joint?
Once, yeah. Once.
Did they think some hair fell out for the night?
They just didn't say anything, but I know that they noticed it, and since they didn't say anything, I didn't say anything. See? And it's a game. It's a silly game.
Yeah.
And you don't need it anymore. No,
you know?
I wasn't bothered that she said something because she has the right to notice that. I wasn't mad at her or anything. But it just really brought it to the forefront. Like, see, it's confusing. It's confusing because Connor joked because I said she's commenting because she's never seen me with a bald spot. And Connor said, and she won't again the next time she watches you on TV, made me realize, which makes it very confusing.
Yeah, well, Connor can joke, but you know what? It's probably his future.
Well, exactly.
Because they say it's traced through the mother. But I don't buy that because very often we look a lot like our fathers and so does our hair
pattern. But I think it skips a generation. So, for example, my dad had a full head of hair. His father was bald.
Oh.
So I've got that. Connor's hair is super thick. As was mine when I was his age.
So was mine. I had a fro.
Yeah. But I've actually said to him, like, sometimes I'll be just kind of feeling his head, the hair on his head, just kind of squeezing it with my hand, and I'll say, man, I'd love to have some of this, and he'll run away.
Is he a sound sleeper?
Yeah, for good reason. Wow.
Is he a sound sleeper?
Somewhat.
You think you could cut like a monk spot? No, or just like have him wake up one day.
Imagine if I did that. That would be so... funny, just, but cruel.
Very, very cruel, but I'm enjoying it. He wakes up and he goes, well, I look like a monk.
And then I've glued it to my head.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I've been
like this the whole time.
Yeah. You go, Dad, how come you have hair?
Oh,
I don't know.
God.
It grew back overnight.
If that wouldn't upset him, I would consider that.
Oh, it put him in therapy.
Funny. So we'll see this is my way of kind of coming out. I've done it and I've chosen to do
you
it on.
You came out a long time ago.
That's another show. I've chosen to do it on our show.
Yes.
And we'll kind of see where it goes from there.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I encourage the fans to weigh in on whether or not they think that I think everybody's going to say you should go for broke and just be, you know, as bald as you are.
Now, here's what we're not going to. Thanks a lot. Here's what we're not going to do. I'm not going to take a picture of it and post it. Just know that I'm bald back there. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Right.
But I live with it day to day, except when I'm on TV.
Well, you know what you said before. You said something about it doesn't really bother me, but of course it bothers you.
It does.
I know you well. It bothers you.
I wish I had hair.
I don't think any man who's losing his hair is actually saying.
And let me tell you,
I love this.
The person who comes up with the solution, and there are hundreds out there. Some of them work a little bit. Many of them don't. They're charlatans selling them. But the person who finds something, I use Rogaine.
If charlatans are selling them, why don't you call a charlatan? Charlatan and get some.
But the person who finds a solution, they will become absolutely rich. Rogaine works for a lot of people. All it has done for me, I think it has helped me maintain the hair I have. It has not, if it's regrown any hair, it's very fine hair that, you know.
We're going to see somebody go on Shark Tank with the hair solution.
Oh.
And all of them will say yes, and they'll all get richer.
Yes, and I'll be there. Yeah. All right, that's my big reveal for today.
Wow, man. Yeah. You know, you sort of hinted at this.
Yes.
And I thought the big reveal was going to be that sometimes, because I know this to be true too, sometimes you have to decide whether or not you're going to wear men's clothing. And I thought, if you reveal that...
It's not true.
Oh, come on.
That is not true.
And like you're not a billionaire. if you reveal that, I was going to say, that's very healthy. Because there are other supposed straight men who do wear women's clothes and that they're straight.
Yeah, I've never...
What's with the lingerie that
I don't think
you've traveled
with? I've never worn lingerie. I know that. I may have worn a dress in a play or something.
Yeah, well, you called it a play, I think. I think you wore a dress when you and Rhonda went to see a play.
He only wears stuff in the basics line. He hasn't made the step to the intimates yet. No. But it might be soon. We'll know. Stay tuned.
You can find him at the makeup counter at Macy's.
All right, let's move on to you. What have you got for today?
Well, what I have for today is that somebody once came up to me and said, did you get a nose job? And I said, yes, I had it made bigger.
Did someone really
yes,
say that
and
to you?
I've always been very sensitive about the size of my nose.
See, now here's the thing. When you talk about your nose, then yeah. I notice it, and it's like, well, okay, it's a pretty good size.
It's ample.
Yeah, but I don't notice. You know, I've seen big noses. When I first met you, my first impression was not what a big nose.
Right.
It was, why is he wearing a dress?
See, we have a lot in common. Well, that was my my nose was my Achilles heel.
Yeah? Are you still sensitive about it?
No. Well, yeah, a little bit if somebody makes a comment about it and says a nose joke, and they are referring to my nose looking like somebody. You know, my mother used to say this all the time, that was supposed to make me feel better.
Right.
To tell me that there was nothing wrong with my nose, she would say, you know, as an actor, look at Dustin Hoffman's career. He has one. And I thought, if you have to point to Dustin Hoffman to say that you know, he's got a career I can too, you're right, actually saying right. I have a pretty big nose.
And then she called him Rain Man Stein.
Yeah. And she once said this too. She said Clark Gable had a gigantic nose and gigantic ears. And I thought, well, what does he look like? Not, he looks like an elephant.
Right, that's right. He played Dumbo.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, now I feel better. Thanks, Mom. Right, thanks. I don't need it.
Your nose is big. It does not dominate your face. I would say you wear it well.
What does dominate my face?
Well, your face. It's just it's a face.
Well, thank you that I wear it well. It fits me, right?
Yeah, yes, it does. Okay. Yes, it does.
I didn't notice it when I first met him. I noticed it because I think when you meet new people, do you make a lot of "I have a big nose" jokes?
No. I mean, it's come up as a joke.
You've brought it up.
It's in my, you know, we all have sort of a list of things if we do make jokes
right.
that we go to.
That we feel comfortable
with. Right, right.
It's the huge, you know.
Sock.
Man area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So self-conscious.
Well, with you, it is
such a problem.
it's a joke.
Oh my god.
That's clearly a joke.
Let's get back to your nose.
So here's one more thing about my nose that was like this didn't make me feel good. So you know, I have a mother, I have a stepmother,
mm-hmm.
and complicated family. My stepmother adores me, and mm-hmm. I adore her.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was about 20 something, and I was an actor,
mm-hmm.
and I made some comments about, you know, I think that I'd be a little bit more castable if I wouldn't be such a character-y type
mm-hmm.
if I got my nose done. And I was and my stepmother and my father were sitting together, and I expected them to both say, what are you talking about?
Right,
you don't need that.
Right.
You don't need that at all. And so my stepmother says, look, if you decide to actually get it, I would pay for it.
Wow!
And I thought, oh my God, then it really is bad. You weren't supposed to say that.
Wow!
She volunteered to pay.
Wow!
And I thought, well, then I don't have an Irish pug, you know. So
let me see your profile.
Oh, well, you can, you know what, you can see it for days. How big is the studio?
Listen,
all right, let me turn.
Your nose is not that big. Your nose is not that big.
I have a bit of a hook, though, and I don't like it.
But
and
it's
also,
not,
it's
but
fat
listen,
on the end.
But you
look
know
at
what?
The end.
Yeah, I see. But you know what?
You do?
Can't miss it.
Like silly putty.
I'm across the street and I can see it. But
like,
here's
like the bald spot.
get Rickles in here.
Sometimes when I don't have a flashlight, I ask Tony to turn around.
See, now this is what I've done. I've now unleashed this. Now it's fair game. I'm nice. You reveal things. I'm nice. You go right for the jugular when I reveal a vulnerability.
I think it's my job on the show.
Here's the thing with your nose.
Go ahead.
Okay, if there was going to be a nose job, to me, the only thing it would be is to thin out. Don't do that.
What?
That's weird looking.
No, what am I doing?
He's doing a weird thing with his nose. What are you sucking in air? You look strange.
That's kind of what noses are supposed to do.
I don't have to pee. If anybody remembers the actor Lee Van Cleef, he had this nose. And I used to walk around and say to people, this is the nose I want.
Someone else
right
has
now, I'm
nose.
Just sort of flaring my nostrils,
yeah.
but I'm able to hold it
okay.
for a very long time.
Okay.
Or
Well, just do that. Don't do that. That's bizarre looking. It's like he's waving with his nose.
Yes, he is.
Here's the thing. All I would have them do is try to thin it out like you're doing now by sucking it in.
Yeah.
But it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I would not. If you had a nose job and said, take some of this off, I want a smaller nose, I think you'd look worse than you look now.
Well, here's what I realized.
I don't think you could get a good nose job.
Well, I think that very often I've looked at people and I've said, that's a horrible nose job. Mm-hmm. Or I've said, what a great nose job. Mm-hmm. And so I think that I almost always know that somebody had one. And it's the only thing that stopped me from doing it. Because at some point, of course, I did have enough money to do one myself and not have my stepmother pay for it. And I opted out because I thought, I don't want people to say, boy, Gary Stein, well, that guy, whether they knew me or not,
he
got a really good nose job.
Right. Yeah,
you don't want
the good or the bad.
No.
Now, I'm to take it back to me for 1 second. You know what I am thinking
It'll
about?
It'll only be 1 second.
I'm thinking about a hair transplant because here's the thing. When you see them, you know it. But it's because people do it right around the front.
That's
I don't need it in the front. I need it in the back.
Well, the thing is, that can work.
Yeah.
But you can also spend a lot of time, a lot of money. It can be a little bit painful.
Yeah.
And it can still look like plugs. I have a friend who's done it, and he chased all over. He went to Houston from L.A. to try to find somebody to do a good job. He had the exact same hair as his father. They were both actors. And with all the chasing around, all that he did, all the different things he tried, he ultimately gave up.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I think they do such a good job now because now they do the microfiber thing that I think I could maybe get away with it.
Okay, so how important is it to you then to give it a shot?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
What about a wig?
No, I would not do that.
It would go great with your dress.
Yeah, but have you, first of all...
he won't wear a wig, but he wears falsies.
Wigs, toupees, no. That you always know.
Oh, that you know. And they wear, and you wear glasses,
right.
So they put glasses on and the sideburns flip
Plus,
up.
Plus, have you ever seen a good Afro toupee?
No.
Never. Never.
No.
They're terrible.
I saw a pretty good one at the Halloween shop last year.
yeah.
For joking around.
But even a short hair toupee. Look, you know, Sinatra, as far back as I think the late in the 50s, he was already starting to wear hair pieces.
Yeah, I know.
And he could afford anything.
Yeah.
And they looked pretty good.
Yeah, until the later years.
Yeah, until the later years. Yeah. And he didn't really want to be bald.
Right,
you know,
right.
And as a performer, it wasn't what people thought of. He had that curly hair mop when like around 1940.
Yes, right. Right.
But most of the time, even if you spend a fortune, it's just that you spent a fortune.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good.
Okay. Let's move on. We have other things we want to do.
So what else about your hair? Let's talk about it.
That's it.
How do you feel about your mustache?
I like my mustache.
But it's not real.
It is real.
Yeah. Why do you have spirit gum here?
Spirit gum. Rob doesn't even know what spirit gum is.
I have no idea.
Is.
Really?
It's what you use to put on a fake mustache.
Well,
I've used it before.
Okay. So if people still use it, how come you don't know what it is? It's not like I brought up something that ended 50 years ago.
No one, only if you're in the arts, if you're an actor and you need to put on a fake mustache, would you wear it? And
is Spirit the brand or is that the variety?
No,
what it's called.
It's called Spirit Gum and it's a cement.
Oh.
And then you when you want to take the mustache off, you have to have it sanded off.
Right.
And that can hurt. That can hurt.
All right.
The Tony Perkins Show. Featuring Gary Stein.
You have a concern about Facebook.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I have a concern about all the bald people on Facebook. No, I'm kidding. Well, speaking of hair and lack of, I want to give Rob Spiewak a little shout out.
There's your segue.
And Oscar, because they brought this up recently about the Facebook legacy contact, and that is you can designate somebody to manage your Facebook account after you pass.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about this.
So that you still have a Facebook presence.
Yes.
But see, this is like, there's something really creepy about this to me. I mean, I think that what it does is it gives some people who are related to that person who's gone, there is a presence, and I get it. It's better than going to the cemetery. They have a Facebook page you can go to. But this is the weird thing to me. You can post on their timeline. You who manage it can respond to new friend requests. You know?
Making new friend requests.
Yes, and so the person who's you know working for you on your behalf is accepting new friends for you, you know?
That's strange.
And they can update your profile picture. You know, but what's the update going to be? A coffin?
Right.
You know,
that's open it up. Let's get a new one.
You know, and ironically, I saw that Rob and Oscar had talked about it, mm-hmm. but that very same day, it was the birthday of a friend of mine who passed, and she has a memorial page, and people were writing on the page, "We still miss you." But whenever there's something new on the page, it throws me.
Because you get a little, what's it called? You get a
notification.
A notification?
I get a notification that there's a new something on her timeline.
That's weird.
And I think, did Audrey do that? You know, like, and of course, it makes me miss her more, but it also makes me feel like it's really weird that they're managing her page. And, you know, if she ever instant messages me, I'm going to have a heart attack.
That you could have some fun with.
The notification comes by way of a cool breeze.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a feather floating.
Yeah,
right.
A door opens.
That's right.
You know,
that's right. It is very strange, and it enters into this. We've actually reported at times about, and there is concern about this, when you die, particularly if you die suddenly, you have this social media life that all of a sudden, you know, unless you've appointed someone to handle it, it just kind of hangs there for a period of time. And what happens? This kind of thing to me, as is often the case, to me, this is more about those who live on than the one who has died.
Well, I don't think the one who died knows about it.
They do not.
Unless you're a big afterlife believer.
Yes.
But if you believe in the afterlife, then you probably believe you can contact them. So why do you need the memorial page? You don't need it.
Now, that would be great proof of the afterlife if someone did reach out through Facebook.
That's right.
If, like, whoever's managing the page, they just wake up one morning and there is, like, a new photo or something. And they're like, I didn't post that. Where did that come from?
Well, if you're very religious, wouldn't it be great if a prophet said something on Facebook and, you know, came up and said, you know, you're doing a great job, right?
No, it would be really disappointing about the afterlife. It's like this great afterlife, you know, all these mysteries unlocked. You have all this otherworldly power, and the best you can do is Facebook.
Facebook, you're still on Facebook.
Well, but see, but that, well,
that is very true.
But that's where you're going to be. You're on, you know, unfortunately, most of us are living on those things, you know. So if somebody wants to find you, where are they going to go?
That would be very disappointing.
Facebook.
Though, you picture the Lord walking around going, you're still on Facebook?
I mean, at least walk on water or something.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
Right, you're in heaven. Well, not Jesus Christ.
Unless Jesus Christ is on Facebook, I would not have brought him up just now.
Oh, I bet he is.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, on Twitter, I follow the tweet of God. It's a guy who tweets as if he's God. It's very funny.
Oh, well, then who's ever up there can't be happy with those tweets. So if he's real and he's up there, why is he allowing the tweets?
Well, you know, because
that was a whole different show.
Yeah,
we did a show on that.
Free will is
Jesus Christ is on Facebook, and his designation is as an interest.
Is there a picture? Is there a picture?
Yeah, it's a stained glass window.
All right, all right. So you know what I want to know? I want to know who his legacy contact is.
Right, yeah.
Who manages the page?
Well, he doesn't need one. No legacy contact.
Well, because he could just do it.
Yeah, he continues to live on.
Does he post a lot?
How many likes does he have?
Everybody on Earth.
Is it a corporate account or a personal account?
11 million, almost to 12 million.
Wow.
So he's doing pretty good.
Wow. That's not bad.
I wonder if they could sponsor our show. Because, you know, with all those followers,
that would be a lot of followers.
Cross promotion.
Well, then you're being promoted by the Jesus Christ page.
Can you look up Satan?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see if Satan is on Facebook.
Yeah,
bet he has more. It's a more fun page, probably.
I think it's an easier page to get on.
There's porn on that page and
exactly,
everything.
Exactly.
That's a funny idea. But yes, I think you're right. If I had someone who had passed on and all of a sudden I got a notification from Billy Bob or whoever it is, that would be very weird to me.
Well, you don't know many country people, so I don't know why you say Billy Bob anyway.
All right, so there is a Satan. He has only 297,000 followers.
Oh, good.
The victory of Christ.
But his designation is as an entertainer.
Sometimes when you're watching a performance, you do think it is of the devil if it's really boring. But you know what, Tony?
That's
this is something for you to watch out for. If you go on the devil's page, if you go on Satan's page, mm-hmm. and they are offering hair growth products, don't order
don't
it from that page
it.
Because
not
it's
it.
Not going to,
right.
you know, you might look like a chia pet.
Right.
Why don't you,
that is funny.
Maybe you should buy like a Chia Pet kit and just put the thing on your head and water it and see what happens.
That's actually...
You know what? It's got to be cheaper.
It would be cheaper. It would be green, though. It would look very strange.
You know, we had Dirk Benedict on the show back in the 1940s, and I once sent him, and I think we said this on the show, I sent him a Mr. T Chia Pet.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
That's great.
And I don't know if he ever actually grew the hair.
I have a Julie Wright, who used to be our traffic lady at Channel 5. Now she's at Channel 7. She gave me a Chia Pet as a gift once. And she always would ask me, have you grown the Chia Pet? And I didn't. I just kept it in the box. And she's always been very disappointed that I didn't use it.
Oh,
but
you should.
I thought it was kind of funnier just in the box. And you know,
was it an actual pet or just like a novelty character?
It was a character. I don't remember who it was. I don't remember if it was a real person or just like a lumberjack.
If I gave you a Chia Pet as a gift, the whole thing would grow except for like just the circle in the back.
To represent me.
Yes.
Well, how about we get a Chia Pet for the show?
Yes.
This is the producer brain working.
Okay.
We put it up here on the console on the table. We do the watering. We water the seeds, and then we just watch it grow.
Okay.
I would do that, sure. Okay.
And we don't say anything.
You want
to record and we post a show of us just watching a Chia Pet
and
grow.
If our fans think that that's fun, I think they need a different show to go to.
I'll tell you what. I'll bring in the Chia Pet I have and we'll
do
that.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. All right.
But you know, the Mike O'Meara gang, they use the same studio, right? So we can't let them get involved in it. It's our bit.
Well, we would have to do it over like a long weekend because we would all be here just watching it.
Oh, we have to be here and watch it grow?
Yeah, that's the edge.
For the whole weekend?
That's our angle. That's our angle. Yeah.
You know what? Do me a favor, don't make any more suggestions.
That can be your
you know
angle.
What? I give you so many kudos. This is not one of them. You know, why don't you just sit there now and just look young?
Speaking of kudos, we always, we go back to our listeners and we love you and you get involved in everything. That's why we always encourage people to go to our Facebook page, join us on Twitter and all of that. About a month ago, we did a segment on worst pop songs ever. The response to that was great. Other people weighed in with, in fact, got some very good information about the song that I posted, Terry Jack.
Yes.
Who was famous for Seasons in the Sun. And then the flip side of that was Put the Bone In, which I think is the worst song ever.
And it really is.
It really is. It really was
worse than Swinging on a Love Vine.
Yes.
It was.
Yeah, they're both bad. But, but
no, you won.
Swinging on a Love Vine, unfortunately, a little catchier, which is what makes it bad because the lyrics are so bad.
Did you see that on our page? Somebody said...
They're
Swinging on a Love Vine has become my earworm.
Yes, yes.
I showed it to several of my friends just because I was listening to it more because I was showing it to people.
Right.
It actually started to grow on me. I was getting into it. Like, what's going on?
Right,
you know,
it
is a catchy, bad tune.
It is. So that makes it better than Put the Bone In because you're never going to sit around.
But one of our fans just nailed it with suggestions.
Cappy Pfeiffer, who is wonderful. If you're a fan of the Moore Network, you know Cappy because she has been a big supporter of the Mike O'Meara Show forever.
Right.
In fact, being in Mike's studio, are actually doing our show from the Cappy Pfeiffer Studios.
Yes.
And Cappy really responded to the whole worst pop music, instantly wrote, oh, you think those are bad? What about these songs?
And she had a whole list.
A whole list. Now, what's funny, I know every song on the list save one.
That would mean except one for some people who don't know what save means.
Right.
Save one.
Well, you know, that's a nice way to say it, right?
Yes.
I like it. Yeah.
It's not very black,
but
he saved one syllable by saying save one.
Yeah, see? It's all about efficiency
and
economy.
Right, that's right.
Right.
Yes.
But she has a list of songs. Some of you may have read it, but I want to go over a couple of these songs because some I agree, some I don't agree. For example, Copacabana, the Barry Manilow song.
If you go too far, it is the Cappy Studio.
Yeah.
We might not be able to record in here anymore.
Oh, no. I'm not going to do anything insulting to Cappy. Listen to this. We all know this. This has always been one of my least favorite songs. It is. I know it was a big hit.
Huge hit.
I know a lot of his fans love it. They go crazy when he plays it. I hate this song.
Well, you know why some people liked it?
Why?
Because it was a story song.
And,
you know, people really got into like the texture of this song about somebody's life.
I don't even think it's a good story. You know, there are good story songs. Scenes from an Italian Restaurant by Billy Joel.
Yes.
American Pie, although it's a lot of allegory and, you know, symbolism.
Right.
But there are other story songs. This one is cheesy. You know, to me, this is cheesy.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, many of us were not big Barry Manilow fans because his songs were poppy, easy, cheesy.
Yeah.
You know, I thought this was one of his better songs in that it was a story song. Now, I do think probably the best story song ever written was Harry Chapin's Taxi.
Yes.
I think that's one.
That's
Cats in the Cradle.
That's a good song. Yeah.
He had very thoughtful songs.
Yes, he did.
You know,
yes, he did. Yeah,
Taxi was amazing when it came out.
Barry Manilow. I don't mind Barry Manilow, believe it or not. He writes some catchy songs.
Yes.
I like some of his, I like a lot of his songs. That one I never liked. So I agree with Cappy on that one.
You know, you're not going to think that everybody is as great as you think Peter Allen was.
Peter Allen. Debbie Boone. You Light Up My Life.
Well, I got to agree with this.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Well, here's what's funny about some of these bad songs. This was a huge hit. And listen to this. Here it is.
Oh. I'd sit by my window waiting for someone.
You know, if I was the producer in this session,
yes.
Wouldn't you say, speed it up a little? Come on.
Yeah.
Put some life into it. It just drags.
Yeah, apparently when she recorded this, nobody slapped her. In the vein of her father, Pat Boone, who sang a lot of kind of middle-of-the-road corny songs,
yeah.
This is one of them. But this was such a gigantic hit, you thought she would do pretty well.
Yeah.
This was it.
Light up my life.
You have the harmonica?
I do have the harmonica. Oh, we're going to make this song better.
Yeah, because this will fix it, I think, a little bit.
Let's see.
You know?
Let's see.
I think it's going to help the song.
Debbie Boone and...
And Tony. Debbie and Tony.
Yeah, here we go.
Oh, I'm feeling it.
It has a soulful tinge
you know,
to it.
It does. The pathos of the song is really coming through.
Pathos. I really hear it.
Pathos.
Pathos.
You got on me about saying. Anyway, get rid of that. Debbie Boone, You Light Up My Life. Here's the
terrible
thing, folks.
Song.
It was number one for 10 weeks in 1977. It won the Song of the Year Grammy.
Yes.
In 1977. She won Best New Artist, never had another hit.
No. Amazing. And I remember it on the Grammys.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This song was huge. But there are a number of songs that were big. That song, I don't think that song would chart in the top 50 today. We're in such a different world and all that kind of stuff. That song wouldn't get near the top 50. Another song that was a big hit, one of Paul McCartney's biggest hits, but people hate it now. Ebony and Ivory.
Oh,
him and Stevie Wonder.
I hated that
song.
Yeah,
but it was number one like for 7 weeks or something like that.
Right, but Michael Jackson's, you know, I'm a lover, not a fighter. I hated that too.
Well, that was a different song.
I know it was.
Yeah.
I hated that song.
Yeah, they
that
were both kind of cloying. That was The Girl Is Mine.
Yeah, The Girl Is Mine.
But because
that song.
But because it's Paul and Michael and it's on the Thriller album,
yes.
Paul is on, aside from being the Beatles and Wings, he's on the biggest selling album of all time.
And Thriller is amazing.
Right.
But
right.
Not that song.
Well, that song was the first single from Thriller, and I've always said, boy, that song gave no indication whatsoever of what the rest of that album
was like. That's right.
You could hear that song and go, I'm not buying Michael's next album.
right.
You know. Now, here's one. This was one of those songs when I heard it when I was a kid, I thought, oh, kind of, you know, Jackson 5-y, Osmond-y. This was another group that only had one hit, and I laugh when I think of it. Do you remember the DeFranco family?
I absolutely remember the family and remember the photo on the album.
Yeah.
What a nice, wholesome Cowsills kind of
family
that was.
That's what they were like. Yeah, they were like the Cowsills or the Osmonds.
Yeah.
And another really bad song.
Yeah.
But it was another. Let's hear a little bit of DeFranco family. Heartbeat is a love beat on AM 630, AM Gold Radio. Listen to this production. Doesn't that kid sound like he's being forced to sing?
Yes, and the song is so long that at the end he actually reaches puberty.
But it has a catchy chorus.
Yeah, it does.
It's another one that's an earworm. Here we go.
It's a love beat.
This makes me feel good all over.
This is kind of like swinging on a love vine.
Yeah.
To me, it's in that realm.
Yeah, but the wild thing is that this was successful.
Yeah, well,
I can't stand his voice. That is just grating and terrible.
It's not a good voice.
Well, they thought, let's get another kid like Michael and Donnie.
Right, and I don't know.
They were talented.
Was it Tony DeFranco or something?
He was always introduced as featuring Tony DeFranco.
Yeah. Can't believe I'm all right.
Well,
that's
they were
enough.
Trying to build that, and it didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't work. It worked for that one
and
record.
They were probably very nice people.
So I found, actually, a wild, weird, grungy cover of that song.
You're kidding.
By The Replacements.
I know The Replacements.
Yeah, me too.
They did this song?
Let's key this up
here. Oh, my goodness. I want to hear this.
Why would they choose this?
Turn it up.
It's not very good.
It's better than the original.
Anything would be. To record Swinging on a Love Vine?
They should.
Well, it's kind of in their title.
Yeah.
They just replace bad songs with their own versions.
Well, that's right. That's not bad.
That's a great find.
It's not bad. Yeah, it's not bad.
Great find.
Yeah, I know they're being cheeky, you know, I guess. But
well, what they're doing, though, is they're actually hiding the very corny melody of that song.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Because it's grunge, you know.
That's a great find, Rob. That is a great find. And I've heard of The Replacements.
Yeah.
All right. I'm very anxious to get you guys' opinion on this. And again, this is all from
Cappy's. Want me to tell you now?
this is all from Cappy's list. And I'm very curious because I don't know what your take is going to be, Gary. And for all I know,
is it from The Sound of Music?
No, thank God. And don't you play any sound? Don't you do it, Rob? And Rob maybe,
you're always on your own, pal.
Rob maybe doesn't even know the song. Richard Harris, MacArthur Park.
Oh, I heard it a million times.
And what do you think?
I despise the song.
Yeah.
Rod McEwen wrote it. Right?
Yeah, Rod McEwen wrote it.
Oh, and Richard Harris.
Richard Harris and Donna Summer.
Sings it.
Donna Summer had a disco hit with it. With MacArthur Park.
She did.
Oh, yes.
Yes, she did.
She was better.
Have you? Yes, it was.
That hit was better. This is terrible.
But it still doesn't make sense.
No.
Let's play. Oh, I hate
when
this
used to,
I love it.
When
it's
this
so
used
good.
To come
you
on the radio.
It?
Oh, I love it.
It ran one step ahead as we followed in the dance.
This, to me, is kind of trying to be artsy and...
He turned out to be, like, a pretty wonderful actor, and he should have stuck with this, you know, with that.
Was this from Jonathan Livingston Seagull or something like that?
I didn't know if it was from anything. But you know whose version is better than this?
Whose?
Sir Laurence Olivier's.
Is it really? Now, Rob, you love this?
I love it, and then I love, like, 5 minutes in. It just changes. It's like three songs in one.
It's like
and
a schizophrenic
cool.
song.
It's pretty cool, and then they have, like,
really?
The slow section, and then they get into the big breakdown. It's almost like a chase scene. It's pretty cool.
It's very cinematic.
Richard gets very upset in this song.
Oh, here's... Turn it up.
Listen to this note right here.
My question. What the hell is this song about?
I don't know.
Yes, he gets emotional, but what he's getting emotional about is someone left the cake out in the rain, and I'll never have that recipe. What are you talking about?
Well, he's talking about a lost love, you know? But it's pretty allegorical there.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
He needed Harry Chapin to clean this up.
Do you like the lyrics?
No, not at all. This is strictly a musical.
No,
it has
but listen,
musical relevance, not lyrical. Not at all.
Cappy nailed it because this really, this couldn't even be an earworm. It's just always bad.
Yeah.
And it was a huge hit.
It was a huge hit, and it came at a time when people were feeling like, you know, it was kind of this, there were a lot of weird artsy things going on. So I think people, you know, because at the same time, you would have big hits by the Jackson 5, Al Green, Led Zeppelin, the soundtrack to Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, sure.
So the top 10 was Sammy Davis, Candyman. The top 10 was a smorgasbord of music and just bizarre.
Yeah, it
really
was.
Bizarre.
All right.
But it was an interesting time. It was very strange, and you never knew what you were going to get on the radio.
We're not going to hang out for the second movement.
Look at Rob's into it. He's doing this.
Yeah.
We are learning a lot about Rob.
You know, why don't you record this as your own? Take it in as your own. You play drums, get some people together.
Rob, let's see if you still like it. Oh, wait.
Be sensitive, Tony. Be sensitive.
I will sing. There would be another dream for me. Someone will bring it.
Oh, I'm feeling the sadness he's living through. I'm feeling it. I'm getting sad.
Please,
and
turn
sick
this
to
off.
My stomach.
Turn this off. Anyway,
wow.
I'm not even going to go through the rest of the list.
That was
plenty.
Why bother?
That was plenty. Although there's a song on here. We don't have to play it. Macarena.
Oh, the Macarena. And then everybody was...
You look like you want to vomit.
I hated it. And then everybody was doing the dance, you know?
Oh, I know. Oh, this is terrible. To me, this is one of those songs that's a novelty song. But it was number one. Guess how long it was number one, Gary?
One day?
No.
Too long.
Too long. Guess how long?
Months? Weeks?
Months.
Come on. 2 months.
This song was number one for 3 months and 2 weeks. 14 weeks at number one. It is, are you ready for this, of all the songs ever on the Billboard Top 100.
In the history of music.
In the history of music, this is the number 7 all-time hit.
This is the death of America. That is terrible.
In fact, I think they play it in terrorist countries. Death to America! That's right. Why they're so mad at us.
Oh, man.
The Macarena!
Then they also play, like, the swim, you know?
Yeah, number 7 all time. All right, so anyway, Cappy, thank you for weighing in.
We think.
The one song that I didn't know was the Poppy Family.
Yeah.
Terry Jacks. Apparently Terry Jacks was a member of a group called the Poppy Family.
Yeah, they were doing Poppy.
They may have been.
Well, it was him and his wife, wasn't it?
Him and his wife-to-be. He married.
Yeah.
There was
a
female singer.
There.
Yeah, probably. And they had a song, which was a hit, apparently. I think it was particularly big in Canada, called Which Way You Goin', Billy.
Oh, I remember this song.
Play this. This isn't good
either. Which way you goin', Billy?
Yeah.
Which way you goin', Billy? Can I go too? Which way you goin'?
Seasons in the Sun.
It does sound kind of like Seasons in the Sun.
Yeah.
Can I go with
you? Could do it right.
Here
we had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. And it's
that song. It's that song. All right, that's enough. The Poppy Family.
You know, I love the way you say, I don't need to go through everything. You went through everything.
There are several here. I'm not going to name them.
Wow.
Anyway.
Well, yeah. You did a good job.
Thank you very much.
And Cappy did a great job, because they really are some of the worst songs ever.
They really are. But, boy, times have changed, man. I mean, listen, there are a bunch of songs today that I think are terrible, but they're terrible in a very different way.
Mm-hmm.
The top 40 sounds nothing like what it sounded
like. Terrible in a calculated way.
Well, you know, for me, the thing about a lot of, and this is what I didn't like about Macarena, it seemed like a novelty record to me.
A lot of
today's songs, they don't have much musicality to them. It's all about, you know, sound effects and it just doesn't sound like music
rap,
to me.
Rap is a very consistent feel. And so for me, you know, I know you're trying to get into what they're talking about,
mm-hmm.
because they're certainly not singing a melody
mm-hmm.
that you can get into, and that's the problem I have with it. I mean, my kids listen to rap.
Oh, yeah, and so does Connor. And I like some rap. I like Snoop Dogg. I think Eminem is a genius.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm not a big Kanye fan. I've tried. I'm not a big Kanye fan. I like Jay-Z, but I tend to like guys who have a particular style. They're very good at what they do. I don't like the generic rap where it's just talking about hoes and, you know,
right. Well, then
money,
then
drugs, partying,
right.
sex, just
then,
all
then
those
you
things.
You don't like most of it.
Well, that's what a lot of it is, and that's kind of generic.
Now, did
to
you
me.
Ever go out and buy yourself a rap album?
I have some rap albums. I've got Public Enemy. Right now in my car, I've got Eminem. Not Eminem the guy, but the candy.
Right.
The greatest hits. Eminem's greatest hits.
Uh-huh.
In my car right now.
I've got the Three Musketeers.
Eminem, they actually have a new promo campaign happening right now. Instead of having peanuts in the middle of them, they're actually going to have little mini versions of Tony's head in the middle of the M&Ms.
Okay. Very good.
That's very clever.
That's good.
No, I thought it was going in a very bad direction.
Right,
but
and we could always have cut that out. You know, actually, the fact that we
nearly as well as I thought. Can't all be
it
winners.
It sounded better in your head.
I guess it did.
We got what
that
you were
happens.
Going for.
My balding head.
We got what you were going for.
Yeah, you know, sometimes maybe when you're about to say something, write it down first.
Maybe so.
And then look at it and say, if I like it after I wrote it, I can still say it.
I think you're batting 300 today. You're doing pretty
good. That's pretty
good. Yeah, 300's not bad.
Yes, Stein.
But out of how much?
Yes, Stein.
Out of 10,000.
Yeah, out of 1,000.
I know.
Which is crazy. That's success.
I know.
It wouldn't be in other sports.
No.
Hey,
no.
A third of the time he does good.
Are we going to get into that
isn't
now?
Isn't it funny, though? I mean, in baseball.
It is. It is funny.
Okay, no, go ahead. Yeah, what were you going to do?
Well, I was going to say that you'll see later on that the thing that I want to do right now is our discussion of rap kind of leads into this in a very strange way. We'll get to that.
Okay.
I was calling this, Dad, you can't say that.
Oh, okay.
And here's where it came from.
Okay.
I said something to my son, Billy. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, no, Dad, you can't say that. And I said, what do you mean I can't say that? He said, well, it doesn't mean what you think it means. I said, you know, this is not the first time you've done that. I need like a glossary of words that are acceptable because obviously things have changed so much.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, make a list. And we went through a list. First of all, I'm going to tell you the two things that I said.
Okay, and he
and
said,
then he goes, oh, Dad,
don't say that.
Man,
don't say that.
You know, you can't say that.
Okay.
You can't say that. So I said, you know, I met this person and we really hit it off. And he said, Dad.
Really?
You can't say you hit it off.
Why not?
Now, a lot of it is probably about where we come from.
Right, right.
Which is what I want to talk about. When I talk about South Orange, Maplewood, and how diverse it is,
right.
That's going to play into this.
Okay.
Because there's something very sociologically interesting about all of this.
Okay,
so I said, what do you mean I can't say I hit it off with this guy? He goes, no, Dad. This is always when I'm driving him to school. He said, hitting it off is doing a certain something that involves an oral something.
Really?
And, yeah, and I said, oh, come on.
No, it's not.
I've never heard that.
Wait, you can't say that. No, you can't say no, it's not if people in his community think it is.
I guess.
So where he...
Hitting it off means receiving or giving...
Yes.
A
stuff.
Certain type of
yes.
pleasure.
Yes, we hit it off.
Okay, wow.
We hit it. I really hit it off with so-and-so.
Wow, yeah, you want to be careful if that's what it means.
Yeah.
And that.
Now, when I'm saying that these things mean these things, I am really talking about indigenously to where we live, or where we live. We moved from there, but Billy still goes to school there.
Okay.
And there is something very interesting about the demographic of that area.
What's the other one?
The other one was... I'm going to see if Fred and I can hook up later.
Yeah, that one I know.
Okay, now, that's definitely...
Because I've said that. Hey, I'm going to hook up with someone. No.
I've corrected you.
Yes, you have.
Because that's part of our past vernacular,
yeah.
You know?
Now it means something completely
different.
Well,
and people can imagine what it means.
Right.
You've seen
you know what everyone knows
and, you know,
what it means
you've
now.
Seen two dogs do it, you know?
Who hasn't?
So I said, after that, I need you to make me a list.
Okay.
I got to see this. And last night, Ben and Billy added a couple to my list. Said, listen, is this it or is there anything else? Ben is 19, Billy is 17.
Okay.
And they go, oh, I got a couple. I got a couple more.
Let's hear them.
Okay,
I want to hear
this. I'm going to run through them because I actually want to make the point about this.
Okay.
So if you got with someone.
You got with someone.
What does it mean?
You hooked up with them.
Well, you made out, yes.
Yeah.
Hooking up could mean something further.
Yeah.
It could also mean just making out, and got with means making out.
Okay.
You're making out. But even making out now.
I believe got with, I take it to mean you had sex with them.
Right.
We can use our grown-up words.
So got with is always hooking up, but hooking up is not always got with? Or is it the other way around?
No, because
got with could lead to hooking up.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, you could.
I hooked up and got with her.
Hook up has more range.
Yes.
More range of possibilities.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And hitting it off is a very specific thing.
It really is. Right. Yeah.
Right around third base.
Right. You could say, I got with so and so last night. Really? Yeah, we hit it off. Oh.
You know what I was surprised by? You can still say going all the way, according to Bill and Ben.
Yeah.
But he says, but no one really under 50 uses the expression, but everybody still knows what it means.
Yeah.
You know, it means the same thing, but who cares?
I think your sons are really onto something here. Because, no one says
so,
that.
So how about this? Yo, I hit it last night.
I know what that means.
Right.
I
Now, it's very significant that my sons will say, yo, I hit it last night, which is getting to my point.
Well, they will say that?
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
No. Like if they're talking to friends, I'm not saying that they are qualifying that something actually happened, that they've had liftoff.
If
I'm
your
not
son,
saying that.
Okay, because I'm just wondering if your son walks into the house and say, Hey, Ben, Dad, I hit it last night.
Yeah, I hit it.
What?
No, that never happens, but sometimes I say to Ben, hey, guess what? I hit it last night. And then Sarah says, Gare.
And then Sarah comes out and says, no, he didn't. He missed.
Can we have any privacy? So if you're asking somebody if they got lucky, you could say, did you hit it?
Yeah.
Or you could say, did you hit? Did you hit?
Okay, now let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Playing Battleship?
Because some of the...
Yeah, it's very much like Battleship and other board games.
Rob, that's where all these come from, actually. Milton Bradley board games.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're playing Monopoly, you still have dating issues.
Well, I did pass Go last night. I passed Go last night. I got $200.
Yeah, right. You know what? And then you went directly to jail.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. I was in jail last night. Now, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you have let me hear one more, and then I'm going to reserve my question. Let me hear one more phrase.
He's macking.
Okay.
Now, he's macking means two things.
Yeah, macking is old.
He's macking means he's getting girls, but he's macking also means just chilling.
Really?
And just chilling means in my old days, see, this is a big circle. If I was chilling, I would think I'd just be hanging out.
By yourself.
Right.
That's what I do.
Yeah. Right. But that's still what chilling means, right? Just being cool, laying low.
But it's confusing.
But apparently mackin' means chilling as well.
Oh, I got
you.
So
getting
it means,
you're chilling.
It's like fat. Is that on your list?
No.
Fat.
No, but I...
Yeah, P-H-A-T.
Right.
F-A-T is just fat, overweight.
Right.
P-H-A-T, which I don't even know where that comes from.
It's some kind of acronym, I think.
Is it?
Some terrible acronym.
Maybe it is. But that means fine. Oh, that girl is fat.
Yeah,
she is fine.
Yeah, and actually, she'd be fine. Okay, I'm going to give you just a couple more.
Okay,
just a couple more.
And then I have a question.
You wildin'.
I haven't heard wildin'.
Okay, you're crazy.
Is that what it means?
Yeah, you wildin'. If you're not quite dating, you could ask somebody, are you guys talking?
Yes.
Now, if you're talking, it means you're on the verge of dating.
Yeah.
Possibly on the verge of dating.
I'm talking to her. Okay. People will get mad. They will, why are you talking to her? You know I'm talking to her.
Yeah, I'm talking to her. What are you talking to her for?
Right.
And, of course, all of a sudden a dialect starts, which is about what I'm about to get into.
Okay.
So, how about this? This is a total different meaning for you because you and I hang a lot.
Right.
So,
check it off the list. Make sure that's okay.
He gasses things up.
Gasses things up. I've never heard that. That sounds
Rob,
fake.
Sounds like a bad weekend to me.
Sounds like a bad bowl of chili.
That's right.
You know
what does it mean?
It means he exaggerates.
Oh, really?
He gasses things up, you know?
Okay.
By the way, fat, pretty hot and tempting.
Oh, okay. Pretty hot and tempting. I never knew that.
You know what? After a long night like tonight, you're zooted.
Some of these sound fake.
Messed up. You're messed up.
Zooted?
You're messed up.
I've never heard that.
Right.
Where would that come from?
Okay, how about this? He's fly.
Fly, that's old.
That's the 90s.
Yeah, that's old. Yeah.
80s, 90s.
Fly, also flee. You're flee or you're fly, which means, you know what? You're pretty fresh. And fresh means you're a really good dresser. So all of them, fly, flee, and fresh, means that you're styling.
Wow.
Right?
Now, some of these I have not heard. So
is there a hierarchy to the different insects?
Not that I know of.
Flee. What was the other one?
You're spidering now. You're spidering.
Now, that's an arachnid, and it does not count.
Right,
but,
that's right.
But look, here's the amazing thing to me. These all come into being by the black kids.
That's what I was going to ask.
And all the black kids are the ones that in the community that make these up. But guess who uses it just as much?
The white kids,
all too. The white kids, which is why I say to Billy all the time, why do all the white kids want to be black? Because they all go, yo, he doing something, yo.
Mm-hmm.
Finishing, beginning with yo and ending with yo.
Mm-hmm.
And they all do it with a black, you know, I can do a black dialect.
Right.
So when they do it, they're all doing it with like a yo man. He really, you know.
But are they interacting? Is it a mixed group interacting and all using the same dialect and vernacular and words and all that kind of thing?
Yes, but if it's just white kids alone talking to each other, they're talking like black kids too. That group of people who are diverse, because there are a lot of white kids in this community, they probably don't even know these expressions. But if you are diverse in your friendships,
then you know them.
You're not only knowing them, You've developed a dialect, a style, and you might even talk a little bit like this. Yeah. I'm doing a hand gesture.
Yeah, you're moving it. Yeah.
It's so interesting.
It is very fascinating. And I think a lot of this is hip-hop culture, because hip-hop has transcended, it did this years ago, this is not new news, transcended the black community. For hip-hop to be as huge as it is and as dominant a cultural force as it is, white people have to be into it as well. It's not just black kids buying hip-hop downloading hip-hop songs, going to hip-hop concerts and all that kind of stuff. So it has transcended, and it has helped to move this vernacular into different communities.
Right.
It's fascinating, and it's interesting. You say, why do the white kids want to be black? It's not necessarily, there are some white kids or white people who want to be, it's like a conscious decision, that's what I want to be. But there are some, it's become their language as well,
right?
Because they're mixed up in that community.
That's right.
But it's fascinating. And here's what's interesting, that you're right, a lot of those terms and other terms over time have started in black culture and somehow get filtered out into the popular, mainstream culture.
I don't think any white kids ever came up with any of these.
Right.
You know? I don't think so, but they use them.
Right now.
You know?
Now, if the black kids would copyright them, then you could start to make some money off
of
this.
Well, we got to talk to some of those kids and get them in the business world.
Yeah, but it's very, and this has happened, you know, in the 70s even, when I was growing up in the black community, I've said before, I lived in Southwest Washington, you know, when I was a kid, and we would hear the, back then it was all different. It was jive, that was a word people, man, that ain't nothing but jive, and he's a turkey, whatever.
And some people would not know that they were holding on to something too long, because you have to admit, Sammy Davis Jr. held on to groovy way too long.
Oh yeah, listen, I don't think groovy came out of the black community.
It didn't.
So Sammy Davis saying it was not exactly giving him street cred.
No, especially
when he was saying it to Richard Nixon.
Exactly.
You're groovy, man. You're groovy.
Do you know what he ever said? Do you know what he said about the whole Richard Nixon thing?
And, no.
You know, when he was asked, like, when you got behind Richard Nixon, what were you thinking? And he said, hey, what I love is that he copped to it. He said, hey, it seemed like a good idea at the time. That's what he said. He didn't say, what do you mean? Right, I wasn't behind Nixon. He goes, oh, well.
I misread that one.
On that one, I didn't hit it.
That's right. I love that. It's fascinating.
But you know what you said about this before is true. What I just said about all these expressions, it actually came out of music, and how much of American music came from the black culture.
You know,
you're as responsible for it as the Jews.
And a lot of that slang, a lot of that slang over time is always, cool. That's cool, man. A lot of that has come from music, and you're right, has come from those communities. And it's a very interesting thing to observe. And I think there is a difference. I think there are some people who consciously decide, I want to try to assimilate, with that particular culture. But there are others who are just, a lot of these young kids, like your kids, it's because they're around it.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not faking it. I don't think they're faking it.
No, they're connecting. This is the way to connect to this group of skateboarding friends, guys they hang out with, girls, and they're all really close, and they wind up using this way of communicating.
Since Connor is 11 and he's starting to get to those teen years, can I have a copy of that list? Although it'll probably be different in 4 years. It'll all be different.
The thing that I was trying to say to my boys is, I can't keep up with these changes.
No.
Why don't you, clue me in when I am saying something that nobody can say anymore, because it's all on social media.
They're
all texting each other and Snapchatting.
And they've got the acronyms and all that kind of stuff.
And I said to Bill, so if I think that you're dressed really well, can I tell you that you're fresh? And he said, only if we're alone.
Yeah, because otherwise it's an embarrassment. Here's the bottom line. Here's the truth of the matter. They don't want you to learn this stuff because it's part of what differentiates your age group and your folks from the new young folks.
Well, my guys, what's cool about my guys is they like me knowing everything, but they certainly are clear about what I'm allowed to use and not use. Funny, I made two copies of this.
Oh, thank you.
I did.
I do want you to pay attention, though. If they do come in saying, oh, man, I hit that last night. You need to have a talk with them.
I'm just going to ask if they were protected.
That's right.
You know?
That's probably a good phrase for that, too.
Yeah.
All right. That is it. We are done. Yeah, this is I told you we had a lot of stuff.
And as usual, we covered the universe.
Yeah, and as usual, we didn't get to everything, but we got to what we could. Listen, thanks for listening. Don't forget to have your friend, well, you too, if you haven't done it, but have your friends follow us on Twitter at T-Perk Show. We're trying to grow our Twitter followers. Find us on Facebook, Tony Perkins Show. And
think about using eVoice. eVoice seems like it's a really good idea. Maybe give it a shot.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, let me know what you think about the whole bald thing. All right?
Well, I think you are partially bald.
All right. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, sir.
After this, I'm macking and hopefully hit it off.
I hope you do, too, Rob.
Me
hope
too.
You do, too.
Me, too.
Maybe that's what you needed to bring to Date Lab.
Yeah, in fact, you know what? Rob, you can have my copy of this list.
Boy. I just gave him one.
We'll see you next time,
Take
folks.
Care.
Bye-bye.
I recall the time they found those fossilized mosquitoes, and before long they were cloning DNA. Now I'm being chased by some irate velociraptors. Well, believe me, this has been one lousy day. Jurassic Park is frightening in the dark. All the dinosaurs are running wild. Someone shut the fence off in the rain. I admit it's kinda eerie, but this proves my chaos theory. And I don't think I'll be coming back again. Oh no. I cannot approve of this attraction, 'cause getting disemboweled always makes me kinda mad. Tyrannosaurus ate our lawyer. Well, I suppose that proves they're really not all bad. Jurassic Park is frightening in the dark. All the dinosaurs are running wild. Someone let T-Rex out of his pen. I'm afraid those things will harm. They sure don't act like Barney, and they think that I'm their dinner, not their friend. Oh no!
Perkins Show, a Moore Broadcasting presentation. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.